Thank you, Kathy and team. Well, good morning. Isn't it nice outside today? No? You know, we got a chance to run over to Charlottesville yesterday and have lunch with our oldest daughter and her husband. And we were over there. I was floored at the amount of snow that was on the ground. They got dumped on over there, literally, in Charlottesville. So I said, I'm not going to complain about our snow. No way, no how, compared to what they had. And I understand up north as well. But certainly had an interesting time, needless to say. But glad you're here today and glad you're in a warmer place and time of worship. So would you join with me in prayer as we just we acknowledge God's presence today and thank Him for the opportunity to meet together. So would you pray with me? Father, it's good to be with friends. It's good to be with family in this place and to recognize that we do not meet alone, but we meet in community, but most importantly, we meet with you. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your leading and working in our life. Thank you for your guiding in our life. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the purpose that you instill in our life. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that we know and that we live in as well today. Lord, as we continue kind of discussing this whole thing of discipleship, disciple maker, help us understand what that means kind of on a local stage, in a local setting, like right here in church and in our community, Mechanicsville. Help us to understand, and more than just understand, help us to take a step to practice. Lord, it's our desire that our lives would reflect your word. We believe the Bible to be scripture, to be your word. And we believe it to be your truth for us. And so it is definitely our desire that what you prescribe and what you challenge and what you commission, what you command, that it would be lived out in our life. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do a work in us today as we think and as we take steps to take action to living out your word. Lord, I realize that any time that we gather, there are lots of needs and lots of things, lots of stuff going on in people's lives. Father, right here, right now, at this very moment, we recognize the fact that you are God, that you are sovereign, that you are faithful, that you are true. And regardless of our context, regardless of our situation, our circumstances, God, we trust you. So thank you for being our rock, our fortress, and the wings that keep us in the shade. We love you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, we started discussing this whole concept of what a disciple is. And we defined a disciple as someone that has responded to the invitation to be a Christ follower. And what we would notice in this Christ follower's life is there are some aspects, there are some characteristics, there are some demonstrable traits that would be there. For example, there would be a lovingness out of us, both to God and towards others. There's this learning, this desire to learn. There's this sharing, the sharing of the things that we learn with others and a sharing of life. But there's also the piece of modeling, kind of modeling our lives after what we learn in Scripture. And we took the context out of Matthew 28, which was really Jesus' commission to us, his challenge to us, that as we read Matthew 28, we find out that Jesus has commissioned us as disciples to go and make disciples. And we will remember that disciples truly are pupils, are learners, are students and apprentices. So there's this aspect of being a disciple that we're always learning. It's not that we have learned everything there is to learn. There is always an aspect of learning that goes on in a disciple's life. But as we kind of define the what of disciple, today, I want us to take a look at kind of the how of disciple making. And disciple making, kind of in our local context, kind of right where we are, kind of in church and in community, in Mechanicsville, in our neighborhoods. And how do we do this? How do we do this thing called disciple making? Because it's something that Jesus says, this is what you're to do. that you are to make disciples, period. There's not a way to wiggle out of that or to get out of there. There's not a disclaimer in there. It is for us to do. It's an action that we're to take, that we are, as students and learners and apprentices of Jesus, we are to go out and make students, learners, and apprentices of Jesus. So with that said, I want to share with you a passage in Mark chapter 3. Down around verse 13, Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to read through verse 15. And I really think this gives us kind of a picture of what the how looks like. Now, there are lots of facets to the how, but it kind of gives us this overarching picture of what the how looks like. And so as we're reading this, it says that Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Some specifics worth noticing about this passage is that Jesus initiated the conversation. That Jesus initiates the conversation. He called, he desired or wanted a relationship with these individuals that he called to himself. He was the one that started it. He took an action to invite, and they came. But what's interesting about the time that they spend together is Jesus does a couple of things. One, he appoints 12, designates them apostles. In other words, he affirms them or confirms them and gives them a role, a new identity in a way. But then this identity does a couple of things. One, he has them together with him that he might be with them. This whole idea is that there's going to be time that Jesus is investing in these individuals, that he wants to spend time with them. He desires to be around them. He desires to invest in them. And so we see out of this passage that they would spend time, relate, learn, grow, observe together, for the express purpose of, at some point in time, sending them out. So I don't know if you caught this, but it's ingrained in this passage that Jesus deliberately identifies or intentionally engages in a relationship with an individual for the express purpose that he would spend time with them and develop them and help them to grow and to learn, in order that he would send them out, that they would live what they've learned, what they've grown to know in their own life, as if giving them permission to live their life as a Christ follower. So what you see in this passage is really kind of a picture of this disciple-making process. Now, what I would say about disciple-making, that disciple-making, the whole concept of disciple-making, is that we would inspire another to connect with Christ. Our goal is to inspire another to connect with Christ, to know Jesus' love for them, and to love him. And in turn, to inspire others to connect. So disciple-making really becomes this idea of inspiring another to connect to Jesus, to love him, to know his love, and in turn to inspire another to connect. So let's look at the how of what Jesus did, because I think this is important for us to understand disciple-making. The first thing that we know about disciple-making, the first thing that Jesus teaches us out of this passage, is that disciple-making happens in deliberate relationships. Disciple-making happens in deliberate relationships. In other words, Jesus is purposeful, deliberate, intentional, specific about who he is going to engage in a relationship with. Now recognize, he had lots of people around him all the time. There were lots of people in and out of his life, just as there are lots of people in and out of our lives as well. But Jesus was intentional or deliberate about a few, about several in which he was going to invest himself in. The question becomes for us, how is it that Jesus chose who he was going to be around? Where did the pool come from? Well, maybe we should ask the question, where does our pool come from of people that we would enter into a deliberate relationship with? A couple of ideas. I think about deliberate relationships. Where do we begin? I think we can begin just looking right around us. Look around this morning. Just look around where you are right now this morning. Look around. You got permission. Look around. Stick out your tongue. Make funny eyes. That's okay. Just look around for a minute. As you're looking around the room this morning, perhaps the very person that God would have you to invest some time in their life is seated just right down the row from you or a few rows in front of you. The reality is there are lots of people in this room and lots of opportunity to disciple in this room. So it could be that the very person that you're going to disciple could be right here in this room. Let's look even more down the list. There are lots of other places. For instance, that it could be someone that's in your neighborhood. Maybe somebody that lives around the corner, lives next door, lives in the neighborhood across from you. The idea is that there's somebody close by, close in proximity, that perhaps is somebody that you can disciple, that you can invest in. Maybe it's another church attender, somebody else that's attending Cool Spring. It could be somebody in one of the other three services that go on Sunday morning. Maybe it's in one of the other two Bible study hours. It can be any number of ways. Facets, ministries, maybe it's somebody in Upward. Maybe it's somebody in an outdoor sports ministry. Maybe it's any number of areas it can be. But it's another attender, another person involved in Cool Spring that perhaps could be the person that you would invest in. Maybe it's a student. Maybe it's somebody that's younger. Maybe there's an age difference between, and so you identify somebody that you want to invest in. Maybe it's an unchurched friend or a de-churched friend. And we talk about unchurched friends. Those would be friends that perhaps don't have any kind of inkling or clue of what church is about or haven't been engaged in church for a while. And so the idea is that church is so new to them and an idea of community is so new to them. And so it's a great opportunity to invest in the life of somebody that is unchurched, somebody that doesn't have any church background, or somebody that's de-churched. And the idea of de-churched is somebody that maybe perhaps at some point in time in life was a part of a local church or engaged in a local church, but somewhere along the way, they got hurt or got their feelings hurt, they got mad or got upset, or just life got busy and they went down a different path, a different road, and so they haven't been engaged in a while. Great opportunity to invest and to develop into a life of somebody, to develop, whether they're de-churched or unchurched. Maybe it's a past acquaintance, somebody that's a part of your past. Maybe you've grown and it's an opportunity to share the things that you've experienced and know. Maybe it's a family member, somebody in your immediate family or extended family. Maybe it's a team member, or maybe it's a coworker that you could invest in, or maybe I call it that person. Maybe it's that person. You know the person that keeps showing up everywhere you go. You know, you're standing there pumping gas, and lo and behold, who peeks around the pump but that person. You're standing in line at Kroger or Food Lion or Martin's or some other place, and who walks up right behind you with their cart of food? That person. Who is it that happens to be at the restaurant? When you're at the restaurant, you sit down, have a nice meal, and somebody comes in, and they sit down at the table next to you or across the room from you. It's that person, and you swear they're a stalker. But maybe that person is the person God is saying, I want for you to invest in that person. Maybe it's the person that God's bringing into your life to identify an opportunity to disciple, to invest, to be deliberate with. And so it begins with a conversation about life, about past, about hopes, about dreams, about present. But see, disciple-making is deliberate. It's a deliberate relationship. You make the choice to invite someone in relationship with you. The second piece that I see out of what Jesus teaches us on the how of disciple-making is that disciple-making happens over time through considerable connection. Disciple-making happens over time through considerable connecting. This idea of connecting is this relationship that develops. It's what happens in that relationship. It's the connecting piece. And when I think about connecting and I think about this considerable connection, there's lots of different pieces to this part. One can be about duration and the length of time. When I think about the time that Jesus spent with his disciples, we know it was approximately 3 years that Jesus poured his life into these men. 3 years. Maybe God is calling you to pour your life into somebody else for 3 years. Maybe it's for a lifetime, but maybe it's for a month. Maybe it's for 6 months. Maybe it's for a season. So the duration differs. Not every disciple-making opportunity is the same. Not every length or duration of the relationship is the same. But the connection piece, the reality is that there's considerable connection. There's a commitment to connect. There's a commitment to a duration. There's a commitment to the relationship. And so when we think about considerable connection, we think about duration. But we also think about the time that is spent together, the time that's engaged in conversation together, the essential things that we're trying to communicate. For example, I think it is very important, and I think Jesus does this so well. One of the ways we know about the care that he has for his disciples is if you read in John 17, his prayer that he has for the disciples, it's filled with references for the care and the love that he has for these guys. And when I think about considerable connection, I think about what you're communicating as you enter into this relationship, is that you are literally communicating that I care for you. That I care for you. But I think you're also communicating that I see potential in you. I think Jesus chose these men because of the potential that he saw in these men. And why we may debate the fact of why Jesus decided to enter into a relationship with some of those disciples, and you could probably have good reasons to debate it. The fact is, he saw potential in these men. And so when we communicate and we spend time with people in the disciple-making process, we communicate potential. We communicate the fact that we're here to add value, that we want to add value to a life and value to a situation and value to the future. We communicate that we want to share something of what we have learned and what we have discovered in our faith walk with Christ, in our journey with Christ, the things that God has taught us in understanding truth and helping develop faith. We want to be able to communicate those. But I also think there's a whole nother level of communication that goes on that is very important. You know what I find interesting about relationships is that sometimes they're self-satisfying or self-directed. The idea is what I can get out of a relationship, so that's why I enter into one. But yet I look at Christ and I see the way he engaged his disciples. I truly believe Christ wanted to see them grow and to become better. He wanted to see them mature and develop and to make other disciples. You know, when I think about being a disciple maker and engaging in a relationship, this considerable connection, I think it's our desire is that people will become greater. I think the idea is that we're okay that if we get left behind, not in the movie, okay, but if we get left behind and somebody surpasses us and does far better than us, that's okay. It's when we choose to be a disciple maker and we're not worried about how great we'll become, we're more interested in the greatness of the other person. That's huge. And I think about that at work sometimes. You know, I've shared this story before. We had, but years ago when we were in Florida, we had this like gift basket that went out to guests at First Baptist Tuscaloosa. And I remember Lane Weatherwax, great, great lady, love she and Don. She would bake molasses cookies for us each week. Now, I'd like to say every one of those molasses cookies made it in a basket that went to a guest. I have to say we did have to test the batch from time to time. It was very good, and they were outstanding. And so here I am talking to my wife, you know, and I'm saying, babe, you know, you need to talk to Lane because that woman, man, she makes the best molasses cookies you ever put in your mouth. And she knew, too, because she tested a few. And so she one day, as we're moving to another church, we asked Lane for the recipe. Actually, Joe didn't. And my wife can cook and bake. She doesn't like to, but she can. Some of you are married to people like that, so you understand. But she loves to. I mean, she can. Does a good job. She tried those cookies a couple of times. You know what? They couldn't taste like Lane's. Now, part of me says, you know, I think Lane left something out of the recipe. Because she didn't want her cookies to get shown up in somebody else's pantry. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. Now, I don't know if she actually did that or not. She's gone on to be with the Lord today, or not today, years ago. But, you know, I think about discipling is about giving people the whole recipe for life. Everything that God's teaching us, everything that we've learned, that they would be better than we are. I think maybe it's an age thing. I don't know that it's you're not so desirous about being great anymore, but it's more important that those around you become greater. And so I see that as a huge facet of disciple making. You can look no further than find when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And you know, the disciples had an issue about that, who was going to be the greatest and who was going to be served. Jesus showed that the greatest is the one that serves. So when I think about considerable connection, I think about the importance of expressing care, of potential, of adding value, of sharing the things that you've learned, but about working for the greatness of another. The third thing that I think Jesus teaches us here is disciple-making is realized in giving permission to practice. Disciple-making is realized in giving permission to practice. If you read there again in Mark 3, down around the last half of verse 14 into verse 15, Jesus wanted them to be with him that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. His goal was that they were to go out, that they were to practice, that they were to live out what they learned. And so it was about giving them permission. It was about giving them the authority to go out and the confidence to step out and do and to practice and to live out the things that they're learning. You know, sometimes we struggle with letting people do something we've taught them to do. You think about that. We're always wanting kind of to tweak it and correct it. Make sure they do it right. When in fact they've got to go out there and do it. They've got to take what they've learned to live it out. Now, I want to show you a clip from Surf's Up. It's a movie about Z and Cody. Z is this great, great, accomplished surfer. Cody is this young penguin that is learning to surf. And I really think this is perhaps one of the greatest pictures of disciple making. Now, some of you are going to think he is just really weird. The snow's gotten to him, okay? But I really, we're going to talk about that because I really think it shows us some great pictures of discipleship, disciple making. So let's check out Surf's Up.
I hold it steady.
This is a dream come true. This is a dream come true, here to be here with Z, doing this. And it's koa wood, which all the best boards are made from koa wood.
All right, now, I drew this pattern as a guide. Now, do you want to have your board with a lot of rocker or just a little?
I don't know. I guess I'd like...
What you want is something in between. Trust me, I'm the expert here, okay?
Okay.
So, here are your shaping tools. Now, remember, the board's already inside there, see, somewhere. And what you're doing is you're trying to find it. You know, reveal it.
Okay, right? Okay.
All right. Every carve counts. Why are you smiling? Don't smile.
I'm not smiling. I'm just, you know, I'm excited.
This isn't like hacking a piece of ice. You know, it takes patience and finesse.
All right, already. I'm trying. Can you just give me the tools, please? Sheesh.
All right, here, take it. Take
okay.
It. Go ahead.
Thank you. Here we go.
What are you doing? Look, if you're going to do it, you do it right. All right, look. First of all, with the grain. With the grain. You see what I'm doing here? You let the tool do the work, you see? Just like you're riding a wave, you let the wave do the work. You don't fight the wave. You can't fight these big waves, Code. Long strokes, loads of finesse. Find the board within the tree. Nice and easy.
Yeah, I got it.
See that? You just...
Maybe I could do it now, okay? Can I do it now?
Can I do it now?
Yeah, like that. Got carried away. Sorry about that. It's your board.
My board. Okay, with the grain. I got it.
Don't forget to eyeball it.
I got
it. Once in a while.
Okay, long strokes with the grain.
Not too long.
Here we go.
You're doing it wrong.
Will you just let me? No finesse when you're in my face, okay? Just let me make the board.
Do you want my help?
No, I don't want your help. I don't want your help.
Oh, you don't want my help?
I don't want your help.
Oh,
okay.
All right, fine. Fine.
I just want to make my board.
Build the board yourself, man, all right?
Thank you.
I don't care what the board looks like. You're the one who's got it right.
Thank you.
It's in there somewhere. Go find it.
Walk over there, please. Please.
Don't cut yourself.
You know, I think of Jesus and his disciples. You know, there were times the disciples got perturbed with Christ. There were times Christ got perturbed with the disciples. And I show this passage, this movie, this example, because I really think disciple making is really kind of messy. It has all the facets of relationship in it. And sometimes you agree, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you get irritated, sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's humorous when you look at it from another direction. But the goal is to make a disciple, an apprentice, a student, a learner. That's the goal. See, the gist of disciple making, I think it's a whole lot easier than we sometimes make it. I think it's about finding someone to invest in for a season of life, to share faith, to share experience, to share truth and its application, in order that you would give your faith away to another and to another and to another. Making these apprentices, these followers after Christ, and giving them permission to live their faith, not yours. Jesus has called us to make disciples. It's our calling. He didn't call us to make mini-me's, but he called us to make students, learners, and apprentices. So I guess the question is today, who is the person that God keeps placing in your life? Who is that person that he's calling for you to enter into a deliberate relationship with? And to create considerable connection. And then as you share life, as you add value, as you share truth and scripture and what God has taught you over the years about faith and about life, as you express your care, as you express their potential in their life, as your sole desire is for their greatness, that you would give them permission to give them literally the authority to step out, the confidence to step out, and to start their own board. Who is it that God has placed in your path? See, when I think about disciple making, it's about what we're going to do on a local level. It's about what we're going to do in community. So who is it that God has called you to disciple? May you step out. May you engage. May you invite. May you be deliberate as you connect. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, thank you for just an example of discipling. Jesus, thank you for the time that you invested in those men, those 3 years. And the picture that we have of your deliberate invitation, the connection and the permission that you gave. Lord, you have called us to make learners and apprentices, students. And Father, we want to live according to your word. And so help us today to identify that person to engage. That deliberate invitation to extend. That we would be found faithful in living out your word in our life. Lord, within this room, there are lots of lives with lots of experience of faith that need a person or persons by which to share. So I would pray that today, that God, you would give strength and boldness and swift steps to extend that invitation. Father, we love you. Thank you for community, for doing life with others. We don't do it alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we draw near the conclusion of the service, a time of invitation, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and it's your opportunity to respond what God's calling you to do. In this room, there are individuals that God is calling you to himself. He's saying, I want for you to trust my son. I want for you to place your faith and belief in Jesus. I want for you to surrender and follow him, become a disciple, become a Christ follower. If God is speaking to you about receiving Christ and living as a Christ follower, receiving the forgiveness, the fact that he died on the cross for our sins, the fact that he's the only one that can forgive us, he gives us life. If you've never surrendered to him, chosen to follow him, that perhaps today would be the day that you would do that. I pray God would speak to you in these moments. Others, God is speaking to you about being a part of the Cool Spring family, about being a part of the community, about being a disciple that is making disciples in community. Not just within the confines of these walls and this property, but throughout Mechanicsville and our community and our area, our local area. We make disciples in relationship. So God's calling you to be a part of a bigger part of a church family, a place to call home. You've been visiting for some time, maybe just for a short while, but you know God's calling you here. We invite you to come this morning. As we stand and sing, to become a Christ follower, to choose to follow Christ today and surrender your life to him, you come. To identify with this local church family, this local community, become a bigger part of Cool Spring, you come this morning. But you know, there's another person here. And it's the person, you know, we were talking about going and making disciples. And so the assumption is that everyone in this room is going to step out and make disciples, but there are probably some in this room who are saying, hey, wait a minute. I need somebody in my life bad. I can't give because I've got nothing to give. And I need somebody to pour in my life. I want to know who you are today. You can come up this morning, we can pray together. You can come up after the service is over, and we can talk for a minute and get some information from you, and I can work to connect you with people that are ready for a deliberate relationship, that are ready to connect and to share life and faith with. There is no reason for anyone in this room to do faith alone.